Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Gene Hickok, Acting Deputy and Undersecretary of the U.S. Department of Education. And joining us in our conversation is Deborah Kammer.
Gene, can you talk about the goals of the No Child Left Behind legislation and how you'll know when you succeeded?
You know, the goal is simply stated, difficult to accomplish, and I would argue very American. And the goal is simply this, that every child in every public school in this great nation be able to read on grade level and do math on grade level within 12 years. We call it proficiency, but proficiency means grade level. And there are those, I think, who argue that even that, even over 12 years, which is a long time, is too much to expect. It's not realistic because, after all, you've got kids with limited English proficiency. You have special education children. You have children who come from low-income families. We've heard the arguments. And while it isn't easy, we would argue that what makes this nation different is that this is a nation that has aspirations for its people. It was founded on certain ideals and principles. And I guess we would argue we would like to have this national aspiration of every child being at grade level, no matter who they are. Every child being at grade level. And if we fall short, we're a better nation for trying. We'll certainly be better if 90 or 85% are on grade level than we are now, where in some places 35 or 40% are on grade level. And so it's an important goal, one that we think is worthy of a great nation. It's not easy. It will not be without its anxiety. We're hearing that already. But, you know, we're talking about educating the next generation of America. And that's a generation that will have tremendous responsibilities. And, you know, if this is a nation that can put a probe on Mars and can talk about putting a man on Mars, it's certainly a nation that can make sure its children can read. That's what the goal is.
Where do you see No Child Left Behind going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I think the next couple of years will be very much rich with controversy, primarily because the rubber hits the road. Those highly qualified teachers have to be in place. The test scores will begin to come in. Schools will be identified. Options will be open. And that's a lot of change in a relatively short period of time. So I think the next couple of years will be tough for a lot of reasons. I think 5 and 10 years from now, we'll be asking questions of education we have even begun to think about, because we'll have so much more information. We'll have such a better research base. We'll be used to this culture of accountability. We'll be used to this investor mentality. I think what No Child Left Behind holds out is the hope of a redefinition of American education, a whole new understanding of what public education might look like. And it might look like very different things in very different places. An understanding of American public education that puts the public, the student, first, and responds to the needs of the public and the student, as opposed to a system that says, we are the system. This is how we do things. You send your child to us, and we will educate your child. As opposed to, this is my child. What do you offer me to make sure my child can learn? That's where we need to be. It's going to take a long time to get there. The other point is, the research tells us, and common sense tells us, that education and schooling are not the same thing. Education takes place long before a child goes to school and continues long after a child gets a diploma. We need to get away from this thinking of the traditional structures and institutions and think about education in its broadest sense. And I think if we continue to do that, you'll see a very different version of American public education.
How do you think the No Child Left Behind legislation or act will play out in this year's presidential debates and discussions?
I think it'll be a big part of it. Certainly the recent evidence suggests it will be. It's unusual that education at the federal level would play a major role, but it did in the last campaign as well. And now that the law is in place and the various interest groups are staking out their positions, it's almost very predictable anyway that No Child Left Behind will be a fundamental part of the debate. I think it'll be there with the economy, and it'll probably be there with international affairs. And I'm looking forward to being part of that debate. Could be kind of fun.
You've talked about the legislation or the act facilitating major change. And I'm just curious to take a step back and think about how those changes will affect the Department of Education.
Well, I think we have to make sure that we demonstrate a culture of accountability, too. That's very important. I mean, every federal agency, every governmental agency has that responsibility. We are all, after all, trustees of the taxpayers. But I think we have a higher obligation at education now because, one, we are a very visible issue with a very controversial new law, and we're asking a lot of our clients. Hence, we need to make them think they can expect a lot of us. I'm proud to say that we have clean audits 2 years in a row, and that might not sound much to your listeners, but the Department of Education, that's a milestone accomplishment. And that we're practicing management techniques that will make sure that we use data to drive decision-making better and better, and that we treat our clients, the states, in a customer-friendly way so that we're not barraging them with questions and paperwork. We're much more technology and computer-oriented, and there's an easier way for them to get what they need from us. So there's a very high level of expectation on our part to deliver a much better product.
Gene, you've had an interesting career in both academic and the public sector, so I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone interested in a career in public service?
Well, the first thing, I guess, is to make sure you have a set of skills that is solid. I wouldn't worry about what area you want to concentrate in, but it seems to me you need to have a set of skills. You need to appreciate the role of politics. Politics is not a bad thing. Politics, in many ways, is a noble endeavor if it's practiced correctly. And that, by definition, public service is political in its broadest sense. I would also encourage a set of principles. Public service, I think, is nourished by men and women who have the intellect and the sense of purpose. Aristotle once said, is the highest calling, public service. And I guess the third thing would be stamina. It's not, if you're serious about it, and I've been lucky to be surrounded by people who are, you know, it's not a 9-to-5 job, and it shouldn't be. It's got a higher purpose. You have broader responsibilities, and the best of us in public service never forget that. And those who do end up not being very good in public service. So I recommend all those things, but most of all, I think a good practical sense of getting the job done in an environment which has great, great diversity, intellectual richness, and not a few challenges.
Gene, that'll have to be our last question. We're out of time. Deborah and I want to thank you for joining us
Sure.
this morning.
My pleasure. I should let your listeners know that they can contact the department at www.ed.gov. That's not a very original website. Find out more about No Child Left Behind at www.nclb.org. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Gene Hickok, Acting Deputy and Undersecretary of the U.S. Department of Education. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.